Hey, Uncle Weed, why don't you break out some of that private stash?
We listen to a show with Uncle Weed, with Lick Bay, nice guy. We coming around, entertain, we make everything nice. We drinking overproof rum and everything is okay.
Jamaica is love, unity is strength, gatherness by no mass.
The smells are full of fruit. It smells like mangoes and papayas. It's got that rich sweetness.
You like planting porridge
in your door.
So while up in Mount Canaan, visiting the Zimbali farms, I came across an opportunity to head on a little bit of a deep bush adventure. So we headed out with this dude by the name of Foot. Because, you know, in Jamaica, there's two things that you'll find is everyone's got a nickname and everyone's got some kind of busted tooth, busted finger, a little bit of a scar there, a little bit of a busted something there. Headed up with this guy, Foot, up into the hills. As we start on our quest, he points out to the side of this mountain where there's like a little open patch, right? Where there'd been a little bit of a fire or something. There's a little bit of a clear patch way up there. Hard to distinguish because it's quite a ways away. Oh yeah, that's my garden up there. I thought there was no way. Wow, how do you get up there? Wow. So we're heading out. We ford a river. We take off our socks and shoes, head across this river, through fields of sugarcane, down another path, up another hill, pop down to a little spring, fill up some water bottles from this another crystal clear pool. Oh, I do love the water. And we start wandering up this mountain, and the trail's getting craggy, where we're like stepping up on little rock steps, and it's all slippery and muddy. And Foot goes on to tell me about the different curing techniques and how up here in the jungle or in the bush, they really take the time to cure it because that will mellow the weed. And when the weed is all sticky and resinous, it's tough on your lungs, right? And it can clog up your lungs. But the longer you let it cure, the cleaner and the gentler it will burn. And as we're burning these joints, you see the ash go right to white and drift off. None of this thick resinous stuff. It drifted in the lungs. And we're smoking these giant thumb-thick joints with not a tickle or a hack. We climb and we climb. And it's hot Jamaican jungle, right? It's getting warm in these woods. But
I think it's basically impossible to get more natural than we are. Our friend Foot is taking us up the red clay mud across a little river, through trees, up a little rocky path, up to visit the man up in the mountains. But along the way, we're enjoying some fine Jamaican ganja. Foot, man, there's something special about Jamaican ganja, man. Why is that?
Yeah, man, I'm telling about the Jamaican ganja, man. The Jamaican ganja in Jamaica, people don't like to smoke the ganja when it's too fresh, that it's too wet and sticky that time. That will always have a lot to do with the inside, you know, like with the lungs and things. So when the ganja is just pure and dry, you get it so natural. So when it gets like that, we always call it the chocolate weed, and that's the way to go. The other way to go is the wrong way, so that is the perfect way to go. But when you burn this, you just get a smooth vibes, no headache, no bad feeling or nothing. But when you burn the fresh herb, it gives you a little fucked up vibes, you know. And in Jamaica, I don't know about a lot of guys, but when I'm planting weed, I just do it straight, organic, straight, natural. No fertilizer, no chemical, nothing, just natural. As we can have it. So that's why we enjoy that people always love Jamaican ganja, you know, because that's the real deal, you know?
I've seen sativa and I've seen indica. Are people growing both in the mountains in Jamaica?
Yeah, but in Jamaica now, them kind of cut out the Jamaican weeds, for it takes so long to bring the crop. So people are always going like shorter crop, like the 6 week crop or like a 2 month crop. So people harvesting now so fast that first time like sativa takes like 5 to 6 months, you know, to get perfect ready. But now they mix, we have all different strain and all different strain what mix up. But I think right now the sativa ganja is the best ganja. The first time ganja like the 6 months, you know. Cause this one ready too quick and fast, you know. So them try to kill it out and bring in the faster strain. So we have to just work with it, you know. So they always want to make the faster money, you know. So that's how it's going in Jamaica, you know.
Yeah, the patience brings you the best weed because the sativas are unbelievable. Where you're no headache, you have energy all day. It keeps you inspired to work hard. And you can imagine always having a sativa spliff behind your ear to enjoy throughout your day, man. Does it keep you going, keep you strong?
Yeah, man. Always keep me strong, man, and healthy, man. When I'm working, sometimes I know that I'm tired, you know. Trust me, I've been sweating and just working and sweat and dry, and I just smoke and eat and drink, you know, all day long, you know. I don't have smoke ganja till I go to my bed, you know. In Jamaica, that's how we do it, man.
You go strong and you drink the mineral water. I think this mineral water, man, must give you some of your powers. Tell me about that spring you took us to.
Yeah, and that spring what you're taking about, that spring is a very special spring. Because even during the hurricane, I can remember like even Gilbert in 1988, hundreds of people come from all over the island, like from Montego Bay, Sav, Little London, Grangehill, Negril, Sheffield, Springfield, Spring Garden, Branton, Bear Road, Paul Island, Fellowsfield, Alma, and all those places just to come to get some of that mineral water, you know? Because it's so special and wonderful. When you drink it, it's so crystal clear that it just feels so good. You just have a different energy. No chlorine, just perfect natural, coming like from 2,000 feet up in the hills, you know?
That's the power of the Jamaican mountains, man. Whether you want ganja or water, it's all in here, surrounded by all these different fruit trees of every kind, man. There are limes and coconuts and everything, right? Mangoes right in front of us, man. It's all right here up in the mountains in Jamaica. It has it all, man. And then we come up across a little hut. Now, this little hut is, you know, pretty primitive, right? Primitive but functional. Four poles suspended up, make a little bit of a frame. Got kind of a tarp covering up one side, a little galvanized metal coming up another side. And there's a little fire there, done in a starfish fire pattern with glorious hardwood, sticks pushing in, and a little smoldering fire with a little grate on top of it there. You can see a little kitchen area. You can see a couple of benches sort of fashioned out of bric-a-brac, and a little chill-out area, a little rope there. We call out to this dude, and here comes this Rasta named Fire. His hair is coiled up in a big crocheted hat, as is custom. He's not a tall man, but he's thick and hearty, and feet the size of Sasquatch. He comes padding down there, a couple sticks over his shoulder, welcomes us warmly. And I can see that besides his nickname being Fire, he's got a busted up finger. Doesn't seem to deter him from anything, right? He welcomes us in a little hut, gets us comfortable with a couple, with a lovely joint each. And as we watch Fire leap around from little bush to bush, picking different things and putting them in a little basket and heading into his hut. You know, I started watching what he was doing, right? And everything in the Aital cooking, and Aital is the Rasta cooking tradition where everything's natural, pure, unprocessed, and vegetarian. And, you know, I totally respect, you know, the vegetarian lifestyle. And for 10 plus years, I didn't eat a bit of meat and stuck right to it. A combination of laziness and erratic health led me to change my patterns. But as I watched Fire sitting there scraping the, grating the coconut, which forms the base of all the Aital food, the coconut, and he was telling me about the importance and the beauty of the coconut, all the different ways he uses the coconut. Can help to feel his connection, the ancient tradition of these plants.
We were the Rastaman in the jungle, Jamaica here. We always, coconut is our main meal. We use coconut to do everything. Right now I'm grating coconut, some coconut here. I'm gonna make some stew right in the pot. I have some kale, some cabbage, some peas. And I'm cooking with some whole wheat dough, with some Jamaican banana. You know, in Jamaica, coconut is the Rasta man. We can use the coconut in so many different ways. We eat the coconut, it's good for your belly. You can even grate the coconut and get the juice, and you can get a little wash. If you need a little belly feel stuffy, you want a little wash out, you can use the milk from the coconut to make a little wash out. But Rastaman in Jamaica, coconut, we call it dreadnought. Rastaman always call coconut dreadnought, so we say dreadnought. Dreadnought have we food, ital food, no cook without dreadnought. So make sure you say if you want ital food, a dreadnought. Come to Jamaica, come take you Rastaman. Come to Zimbabwe farm, see a natural living, natural going. Come to the mountain. You see all trees, all farm of trees, fruit trees. Leave the cold for a while and come and enjoy some of the beautiful sunlight here. Yeah, that's it. That's fire. Yeah. You see when you come.
Fire, you know, like ital food is such a part of Rastafari, man. Can you tell me about the foods that you cook every day?
Every day I try to prepare my meal, no matter how small. It don't have to be that big meal. Sometimes I have like 2 bananas, but I always make sure my coconut is the main thing. I can't do without my coconut. It's oil for my joint. It's oil for my body. It's like I could have been tell. I've been eating coconut maybe for like 25 years now. I take coconut for a serious meal. I've never been for the doctor for like 25 years now. Just living in the jungle, moving around. You see how I'm looking?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Quite physical fit, natural, hard sunlight. You see when you eat ital food, you stay away from all the disease. It's less, it's much better staying away. Meat harbor too much corrosion in your body. It give you a big belly, pumpy big belly. Rastaman like to be physically fit. That's all we want, physical fitness, good health. Let your food be your medicine and your medicine be your food. That's it.
Here in the woods,
yeah,
it's hard to tell where your house ends and the woods begin, man. You're like, you're part of nature here. And all around here, there's not a difference between what is your garden and what is the forest. The forest is your garden, and the garden is your forest.
If you look, your eyes can tell you just by looking. You'd have to come and see for yourself. Like my brethren here, he's seen and he's feeling the vibes. He's seen the real form of nature. So you too can come over and enjoy the full form of nature. It's here. It's all for you to enjoy. Yeah, man. We all friends. We all family. We all trying to make in love with each other. We don't want no war. We want one love. That's what we saying like Bob Marley. One love, one heart. Let's get together and feel all right.
Keep grating that coconut, brother.
Yeah, man. Coconut. You hear the grater grating the coconut? Listen. You hear it? Yeah, man. You want to come on it. It's like a beat. You hear that? It's like a beat. We Jamaican beat. Yeah. It's fun here.
One drop with
yeah,
the coconut.
Man. Yeah, man. It's fun here, man. It's real fun. It's real fun in the woods, man. Real fun.
So as he's there grating this coconut, and he starts to throw and assemble all these ingredients, and he's got 2 pots on this little grate, and he's moving them back and adjusting the flame so he has the right heat under each one, and he starts to put this variety of ingredients, makes this soupy base out of the coconut, and then he makes these like little dough-like biscuits, and he drops these in some hot water, and he starts putting in just a variety of vegetables and greens that you wouldn't necessarily think go in together, but man, everything that, if it was a vegetable, it was going in this pot. And we got all the, from plantains to these biscuits to shredded up probably callaloo, which is kind of like collard greens. It's somewhere in between collard greens and spinach. Those little tiny miniature ears of corn, which came from a can, which I thought was quite interesting, along with some beans. Then I started thinking about that, you know, and to keep the proteins and our amino acids complete, he's combining the corn and the beans in there to make sure there's complete amino acids along with all these hearty other green leafy vegetables and the heartiness of this, of these biscuits and the nourishing of the plantains and the yams and all the other things that were going to this big one pot cooking. So as we sit around the fire, burning down these joints, and he's telling me about what he's doing as he's going along, I'm sticking a little bit of wood in the fire to keep my joint lit, because joints are for smoking, not for passing in Jamaica. And as I listened to him, I just couldn't help but feeling like I was 100 years ago, right? Like I was part of this connecting to the ancient tradition. Now, of course, he's also got a water tank in there to collect rainwater. Because this is his little place, man. He lives there in the bush, and this is his regular everyday life, right? And to sit there and be part of it, and this is just him making lunch. This isn't him putting on a show, right? This is him welcoming us into his world because we were... You know, we were willing to take the time to come up to Mount Canaan and hike up for a significant amount of time through a treacherous trail, come up and show him a little bit of fellowship and kindness
and an interest in learning his ways. So as he showed this thing and loaded us up bowls of food, and you think, well, you know, how hearty and how filling can a bowl of vegetable soup be? With all these powerful vegetables in there, plantains, your belly fills right up. It's got to be good food, man, because this guy was built like a horse and works like an ox up there in the hills. So we have a little after-lunch smoke as we sit and let the wisps of smoke drift in the air, thinking about, wow, how do I find myself here? What a privilege, what an honor to be up here hanging out with this dude, right? And he's explaining in his Jamaican patois and his happy elfin way almost. With so much joy coming from his voice that he explains these different things to me. And he knows that, you know, he soon realized that I'm a guy who spends a lot of time out in the woods myself. And we started identifying all these different trees that we both have in our countries. You know, there's cedar and dogwood and start talking about the origins of some of these plants. And he's, I don't know, man, I think he's having a good time. I know I was. So then he takes us out to show us some more of these plants. Because, you know, the forest is his garden and the garden is his forest, right? And he just, as we go around, he shows us all kinds of other things. The June plum, the soursop, the breadfruit, the cassava. As he's digging at roots, as he's showing us trees, as he's climbing up this and that. And all kinds of strange fruits that, maybe I've seen that once or twice at an exotic show or a grocery store or some market somewhere, but I'm not really sure like where it came from or what it is. And sure enough, there it is, growing up on a tree. You know, things that don't quite look like a pineapple, but they sort of do. I don't know what that is, man, but I'm here in the jungle climbing up this red clay, slippery little, you know, coral rock staircase to the mountains with this rugged man pointing out these giant dangling fruits. Swinging from the branch of these trees as we climb higher and higher and higher up in the mountains. Yeah, I like the soursop juice.
You want to take a cigarette?
Take a cigarette.
Like cloves, yeah.
That's a fermenter. It's not fried. Yeah. It bears some little beads. Here's the beads, and they grind the beads and make a spice like
this. Yeah, yeah.
You can see when the sun goes, over, so you notice all the trees are growing to reach the peak of the sun. So all the trees begin to grow tall because they are in the valley here, so they want to reach the sunlight up there, so they grow real tall to reach the sunlight up there, you know. Take a view over there now. See the view from here? You see? It's a view, man.
This smells even more incredible.
Okay, that's it.
You smell all sorts of different spices and fruits on
that's
the air.
It, that's it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's it, man.
And this is all your garden.
Yeah, man.
This is your forest garden.
Yeah, man. It's my forest garden, man. Here, look, you see planting. They had planting coming on there. Look on the tree. See, this is the planting tree. Look, this is the tree. This is the planting. Look on them. You see planting coming on them there, you know?
Right.
Yeah, man. That's the natural. You know, you like fried planting. You like planting porridge. You like planting in your dough. You can make planting pie. You can... Planting have a lots of, you know, we call it roast planting. We can eat it when it's ripe just like that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
I like the plantain.
Yeah, well, plantain. It's a man food. It's good for the man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, man, it's a man food, man. Yeah, well, plantain is a man food, man. Yeah, well. So the fresh air you get up here, real fresh. Nothing to stop it, but it's all clear.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden we come around and I realize that cleared out patch that we had seen that food had pulled it out to us on the early part of the journey. There was these standing white trees, the burnt husks of some trees, and these giant coral boulders. And in amongst there, in this well-drained soil, was these beautiful, beautiful 3 to 4 foot indica plants. Little bushes growing up like little Christmas trees. And you, oh, Immediately, fire invited me to squeeze some buds and smell them, and my fingers were immediately sticky. The sun's beating down on this slope of the hill, and I mean, it was inspiring to know that we had hoofed it up there, all the way up there. Well, holy smokes, we're looking down to this endless green canopy. And from where we sat there, amongst these little cannabis teenagers, it looked like there wasn't a sign of any kind of humanity. Maybe there was like a radio antenna somewhere in a distant hill. Wow, you can imagine all the change that's gone on this island. Still so much is the same. The island and nature reclaims everything, right? The nature erases history in a weird kind of way. So out there and spent a few glorious moments basking in the musky odor of these young cannabis plants, you know, feel a little bit of joy as fire rolled one up at, you know, finding this opportunity to come all the way up here. Oh, these little ones. Stay over here. Don't want to crush the little ones.
Yeah, man, this is the kushai part.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
The smells are full of fruit.
It smells like
mangoes and papayas. It's got that rich sweetness. And my fingers are already so sticky. Yeah. All right, the little perch.
That's the way I stay, yeah.
So what kind of, what strain of plants are you growing?
These are just ordinary skunk tea, you know? These are just ordinary skunk. You know, ordinary skunk, man, ordinary. When you come here, man, if you come to Jamaica and you stay in the jungle here, you could smoke whole day, whole night. You sit by the fire, burn the fire. And we just do smoking. That's it. It's all fun in Jamaica, planting guns and smoking guns. That's my habit. I can't stop doing that. That's what I live for. That's the only thing else to do. I have to just keep on doing it. It's my living. It's natural. It's all natural plants. All natural plants.
And this garden is in amongst like a kind of a cleared set of trees, so you have lots of standing dead trees, but you still get all the sunlight. So you get all the sunlight for the ganja plants, and they're growing in this like.
Yeah, man. Every night you get everything. You get everything that real, man.
Yeah, and the mountain looks like it's old coral. Well, it's old coral. Yeah, all these rocks are old coral. So at one time this was underwater.
Yeah, man.
So with a grin on the face, head back down the hill, and somewhere as we're galloping down this trail, down the little slippery red clay mud steps, having said goodbye to fire and exchanging our best wishes, and sharing a hug that I'll never quite forget, as he's smiling and cackling as his goodbyes, with his glint in his eye, and wow, man, this is just another day for this dude, right? And somewhere along that trail, man, that wasp came in and sensed my happiness and said, "Dave, you need a little bit of a trial." So I couldn't help but smiling and thinking about me, fire, the ganja plants on the side of this mountain with nothing else around, somewhere in the canopy of Jamaica. Oh, Mount Canaan, oh, Mount Canaan, oh, fruit and fire. Thank you for bringing me into your life, man, showing me those little glorious moments that no one gets to see. You know, you think about this, like having to pay someone off or going up there with guns or a strange guerrilla operation. No, it was none of that, man. It was just pure joy and love. And on his trail, fire had different little hangout areas. He had different little caches of water. He had different little chill pads spread along the way. And it wasn't till the next day that I learned from someone else that my friend Foot's ganja field had been hijacked from him. He had harvested his field and he was hanging it and curing it in his slow and laborious manner in a little drying shed up there in the mountains. Someone came up there, bound him and gagged him, and stole all his ganja plants. And this happy man didn't mention a word of it to me. Like, sure, why would he tell me, right? But to think that he was resilient enough that he's back out there trotting up down the hills, rolling us up this the joints of the well-cured chocolate bud that had this, well, had this mellowness to it, almost like it, like a seasoned tobacco leaf or molasses or this sort of spice bread, like a, when you burn it, it smelled like whole wheat bread. Nourishing, gentle, strong. Which I gotta say is something I won't ever forget, man.
You've been chewing along with Uncle Weed's Wild Hybrids.
I don't, you know, I don't worry. I try to make myself quite comfortable, you know. Because worrying, you don't hear. If you worry, it's a problem. If you don't worry, it's a problem. So why worry?
Yeah.
Stop worry and start living. Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah, man, that's the Rasta man chat,
man.
Yeah, man. Stop worry and start living, man.